The Gospel lesson is found on page 844 in the Pew Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet because he is a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we can come together this morning to worship you. We thank you that we have that freedom. We relish the opportunity. As we come before you this morning, we bring praise and glory to your name. But we also bring ourselves, asking that you would speak to us through your word today. Do so in such a way that our lives would be encouraged, and also that our lives would be molded by you, that we might serve you faithfully in all we do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as we come to our annual celebration of our nation's Independence Day, it's important to remember the sacrifices made by those who first made it possible. What we sometimes forget is the level of risk and the dramatic cost to many of those leaders. For one, they faced being charged with treason against the King of England, a crime leading to a death sentence. For another, many of the early leaders were financially ruined through the course of the fight for independence from England, losing their property and financial estates along the way. Obviously, because it involved going to war, many paid the price of their very lives. While there are many names, one obvious name that stands out is George Washington. At the time, Washington was one of the wealthiest men in Virginia, if not all the colonies. He was well respected and the obvious choice to be named as the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army. Part of his character is seen in that he refused to take a salary in that position, choosing to serve for other reasons. Knowing those implications, we may wonder what prompted George Washington and all those others to make the sacrifices they made. If they weren't in it for the money, what was driving them? They had a bigger vision, making those sacrifices in service to a new nation. It was a purpose which drew them beyond themselves, as well as drawing them together with those who shared the vision. Well, that perspective and approach to life did not originate in 1700s colonial America, but is woven into the fabric of who God created us to be as his people. Epitomized by Jesus, who gave himself for us and calls us to do the same kind of thing, to make a distinctive sacrifice as his followers. For those keeping track, this is our third week in chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus has been preparing the disciples to head out in ministry teams, preaching and healing in his name. He had set that vision before them and was giving them important principles they would need to pursue it. Well, today's lesson brings us to the end of those instructions, preparing them for the potential sacrifices they will make in doing that work. As earlier, Jesus addresses the potential of the sacrifice of human relationships. In surprising words, Jesus points out that he did not come chiefly to make nice, bringing peace and prosperity all around. The clarity of his teaching about his identity and work prompt tensions between those who accept it and those who reject it. Faithfulness to him and to the gospel may cost them relationships with family and friends. Understanding the gospel is not to blame, but the hardness of human hearts rejecting that good news. Jesus also restates his teaching about the necessary sacrifice of human solutions. Because we are incapable of saving ourselves, we need to give up trying. Only in turning to him in faith will we find salvation and eternal life. And then Jesus points to the distinctive sacrifice of our indifference, thinking, oh, it really doesn't matter, does it? For today's purposes, I want to focus on this last section. First, to sacrifice our indifference involves being identified with Jesus. In verse 40, we hear Jesus saying, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." This is a long-standing pattern seen throughout the Old Testament and carried forward by Jesus. He sends us out in his name to do the things he has told us to do. There may be a huge variety in details from one person to another, but it is always to be consistent in character as his representatives. We do not have the liberty to do our own thing in our own way. We are sent to do his thing in his way as his followers. What we do and how we do it matters. When we are faithful in that ministry, people will have a mix of responses. Some may reject us, while others will be receptive. Jesus makes the point that when we are identified with him, those who are receptive to us are in fact being receptive to him as well as to the Father. Doing ministry in the name of Jesus is not about popularity or celebrity status for ourselves. It is all about presenting Jesus to people. We won't be able to do that if we are indifferent about Jesus. A prevailing ennui will not be found winsome by anyone. Knowing Jesus to be the eternal Son of God who gave himself as our Savior and reigns as the living Lord has a way of replacing casual indifference with determined zeal. As one bishop put it just this past Wednesday, our country is politically, socially, and economically divided. The church is in confusion and it needs the good news of Jesus Christ. People are suffering all around us. They need healing. Mission is around us. Mission is on our doorstep. And then going on to rouse his congregation out of their indifference, he added, "Too many Christians in North America are Christians on Sunday morning. Too many Christians receive from God but do not give of themselves for God. We have many organizers, but not enough agonizers." Can you hear what he's saying? An organizer can be remote, distant, even detached. An agonizer, by definition, is personally invested in people's lives. And second, to sacrifice our indifference involves being interdependent with all of God's people. Continuing in verse 41, Jesus says, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." What's he getting at? Again, Jesus is pointing to a long-standing pattern. Essentially, he is pointing out that when we participate in or support faithful Christian ministry, we are cooperating with God. It is not about the size of our efforts. Rather, it is about the character of our efforts. I remember a friend of mine describing the ministry he helped lead up in State College when he was a student at Penn State. Along with a team of other volunteers, they developed a thriving and growing Young Life club in the local high school. He recalled feeling pretty great about himself and the team and the great work that they were doing together until he met this elderly lady who asked if she could come sit in on one of their meetings. Asking why she wanted to do that, the woman explained, "Ever since the team of volunteers had begun their efforts, each year she had acquired a copy of the high school yearbook. Every day, she would go through the yearbook pictures, praying for each of those kids by name. Having been doing that for a while, she thought it would be fun to see them in person." That lady was as much a part of that ministry team as anyone else. And my friend and the rest of the team came to realize how much they were supported and upheld by her. A holy interdependence fashioned together by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of reaching the lost with the good news of Jesus Christ. And then third, to sacrifice our indifference involves being rewarded by God for our faithfulness. Verse 42, Jesus finishes this teaching saying, "And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." It's been explained that when Jesus speaks of a cup of cold water, he is using a colloquialism. Those listening would have understood the figure of speech to mean any way we help the cause of ministry in his name. Participating in or supporting Christian ministry of all kinds, big or little, through doing all kinds of things, big or little. You may find ourselves making sacrifices like Barry Smithy's. I don't know if you know this, but helping to prepare and provide for this morning's ice cream sundae extravaganza. Barry put himself into it, and he doesn't even like ice cream. I think of all the different things folks have shared in our weekly Do It With Me spots. We may not all be directly involved with each and every one of those ministry efforts, but we can be supportive and encouraging to those who are directly involved, doing what we can to help them do what God has called them to do. That is just one way we can give them a cup of cold water to drink, and it will be refreshing to their souls. So we read what Jesus had to say here. It's interesting that he does not go into a lot of detail about the reward resulting from that kind of cup of cold water support. But more significantly, he does make the promise that our efforts in support of his work in the world are observed by God and will be rewarded by him. Back in the late 1800s, Bishop J.C. Ryle put it this way: "The eyes of the great master are ever upon those who labor for him. The work may seem to go unnoticed or unregarded. The work may appear very trifling or insignificant. It is not insignificant in the eyes of God. It will be brought to light at the last days." Folks, that's when our reward will be more than we can imagine. as we come to see what we did for other believers, we did for Jesus. In that context, our sacrifices won't seem like sacrifices at all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning as we remember the birth of our nation and the sacrifices those people made, we cannot help but have our attention and our hearts and our minds drawn even further back to the sacrifice that you made in giving your Son Jesus to die for us on the cross as our Savior. But Father, even as we remember that, help us remember that was not the end of the story. On the third day, he rose again. He demonstrated his victory over sin and death and now lives as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. As we seek to serve him in this world, may we do so knowing that what we do has eternal significance. Encourage us, therefore, empower us with your Spirit for that work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.